Good afternoon. Today is Monday, January the 12th, 12th day of the new year. Join us this afternoon, Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Gary Eagles.
Well, that's a wonderful introduction. Happy 2015 to you, Brian.
Did your teams win?
Did my teams win? Well, some of them did.
Did your teams play?
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I'm enthusiastically looking forward to Oregon tonight, seeing what our regional representative on the collegiate level can do against Ohio State.
Did you hear how much those ads are going for?
No.
Between a million and three. It's supposed to be the number one all time ever, no question about it, cable broadcast of all time.
Is that right? Well, you know, in many ways it doesn't surprise me. And having Oregon and Ohio there is going to be a very interesting competition.
Yeah, some real strong regional and alumni, so it'll be interesting to see.
I think we've got the country covered.
Yeah.
In that mix.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yes.
Nonetheless. This afternoon we'll spend a little bit of time talking about governor budget. Oh boy, it came down on Friday.
One more time.
Or it hit the fan Friday, depending on one's perspective. So we'll talk about some of the impacts to education there. And all CCS.
Oh, that's county superintendents. Yeah.
Says focus. I'm having a tough time reading it. All right. We won't be talking about what I can't read over there that Gary brought in with him. Also a little bit about reorganization, as it does tend to go hand in hand with budgets coming down from the state. We'll talk about those changes also when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles. But before we... Oh, and time is moving on. Before we talk to Gary, our quote this afternoon. P-I-T-T-A-C-U-S. I know you're a Greek scholar.
P-I-T-T-A-U-A-C-U-S. Pitatius?
Okay. Quote, the measure of a man is what he does with power.
Yes. Actually, well stated.
Yeah. And well stated. Under 10 words. Can't get lost in the translation.
No.
Very easily.
You know, I think... Yes, and you could say similarly, when people are put to stress, how do they handle stress? How do they handle challenge? But in this case, how do they handle money? How do they handle power, authority?
Fame,
I think it's all of those things. It really marks the character of the individual.
So. I think having shows it quicker than not having. You get $10 million, boom. Okay, Gary Eagles now does not have to work.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Eagles doesn't have to be anybody's friend. You can go buy an island and disappear.
So the question is, what do you do?
How do you act?
Yeah.
Boom. Versus, okay, let's say you lose your job. Well, okay, there's a lot of support for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How do you react? I think it's kind of an intriguing concept. The newly anointed, tend to flex and go. There's a tendency for some to go crazy. With their newfound power
and
celebrity.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah. I think we saw that last night if anybody watched the TV show with the award show.
Oh.
It's like, I don't care what you think.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. You got voted on because you're an actor. Yeah, your character got selected.
Oh, and how well you played it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Getting back to the football a little bit, what kind of thoughts do you have? Is there anything that... Any discussions, anything that you hear about compensation for athletes and anybody who's on a scholarship? And I suppose some of the academic scholarships would qualify, but most don't preclude the recipient from getting a job. Athletic scholarships do. It's written in there, will not have a job. Oh, you lose
Right.
Eligibility.
Actually, it's just the opposite for a lot of the academic scholarships that I've looked at. Plus, not only the academic scholarships, but some of the conversations we've had locally about this tuition guarantee program that Humboldt Area Foundation is working with College of the Redwoods and our Decade of Difference program, Brian, because we're looking at how do you make college affordable? How do you make sure that as many people as possible who have the dream of going on and the ability to go on should be allowed to go on? President Obama announced last week, you probably saw it in the paper, about guaranteeing the first 2 years at a community college paid for by the federal government. Not quite sure how he's going to do that. I do know that there are three states in the nation that have adopted this, one being Tennessee, for example. But they're way back when, under the master plan for higher education for California, community colleges were essentially free or extremely low cost at one time, under the same vision of how do we get more people through the system. Now, having said that, the local tuition guarantee has as one of its premises that after the young person applies for all the federal aid they may qualify for, all the institutional scholarships they might apply for, applies for work study, then they'd come to the foundation and say, what's the unmet need? And that's what Humboldt Area Foundation is trying to look at in terms of what can this community do to close the gap, if indeed there is one. But that third point that I mentioned about applying for work study, there is an expectancy in that program that individuals are going to do it for themselves partially as well. Now, you've raised an interesting point that in sports scholarships at the university level, they typically say, and it's more often than not, that no, you can't have anything else interfere with it. Now, they say, on the one hand, it's to not influence the student's involvement in the sports activity. I don't know if that means that they perceive that to interfere with both the instructional work that the students are supposed to be engaged in plus the athletics, because when you combine those two together, that's a lot of time. So you've got school, you've got homework, and you basically have practice and you have your games.
You're 12, 14 hours a day locked up that way.
It could be saying that, look, we don't want you to work in addition because you have these other requirements, and we want you to do well by your team, so we want you to participate there, and we want you to do well by the educational process.
Now, that's the large-hearted overall NC2A.
I think that the other notion is this idea that there may be corruption or fraud or some other process.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles. Gary, the concept of the work study and some of these other aspects of balance in an academic setting, do you find that a lot of the kids that you're working with have that balance? Are they single track? Teachers, do they have balance? Or do they tend to have single track? I mean, how do you infuse that element of academics and life over academics?
Well, I'll tell you, I've always had a personal philosophy that I think an individual who wants to pursue education beyond high school, and I would hope that most, if not all, would want to pursue some form of post-secondary education just simply because I can't think of a career that doesn't require at least some refresher, let alone more advanced training. But with that said, I've always believed that it's worth more to the individual if they have to work to attain it, if they've had to contribute toward the process and it isn't just totally underwritten for them. I think it is, you know, we were talking about character development earlier, and I think this is with the quote of the day, and I think this is somewhat of the character development. I think when somebody has to participate and put their share in, that it means more to them coming out. I know that research shows that, when people pay a little bit of something, if not a lot of something, when they go to get some, it means more to them than if it necessarily comes free.
Winning a gift.
Yeah. As opposed to, putting in $20 share and somebody else matches it for $20, then that's a different story than somebody just giving you $40. So I really do think that asking students, in this case, what we're talking about is, students on an academic scholarship, should contribute somewhat. I also think that students going through high school should be taught by their parents to either work. They either work outside the house for a little bit, or they work around the house and they get this idea of an allowance, I think, needs to come, not just because the parents want to give the students some spending money, but it comes with certain expectations about what to do, because I think that's part of what life is all about. And we want to prepare these young people for living on their own. And the world doesn't give you everything.
So what if we took that analogy at the collegiate level and applied it to the high school level directly? Okay, you've got factories down the Bay Area and De La Salle. Okay, their football program is sending kids to elite D1s. No question about it. I mean, they do, and to the pros too. I think we got half a dozen of them playing on Sunday. All right. So what about for those kids, if they're spending all the time in the weight room and on the practice field and viewing tapes and going to school, what about the high school level kids getting the equivalent of a per diem?
Well, I hate to see the kids actually getting it from the public system. Of course, your De La Salle is private.
Right.
But what I would hope that parents in that circumstance do is look at the
students. Well, let's say Cal as a college.
Well,
or university.
No,
I think you're still talking money.
Well, I think if we're talking about college institutions, I think the young people need to have spending money, not only their tuition and books, but also need to have some spending money. So I could see that as being part of the financial package that a college would offer, even if it isn't all the way down to high school. Because there is such a time commitment that what we call student athletes are supposed to put in. But I also think that there needs to be minimum grade point averages, minimum number of units taken.
Qualifiers.
There needs to be an educational plan first, and then an athletic component that complements it. And then when you look at what's the commitment, because the commitment changes whether you're playing football or basketball or baseball or whatever have you that you might, or soccer, whatever you're involved with. And I think each institution should take a look at that and say how do you really make that work? There are a lot of young people who, because of their innate natural talents and abilities, do get acknowledged for their physical prowess as well as what they can do in a classroom and get some very good scholarships, but they don't come with some of these softer supports. And those things ought to be looked at and made possible under the NCAA guidelines.
Are you familiar with any high school coaches locally that are under the edict for grade point as well as win-loss?
Well, actually, there's an education code requirement that requires students to maintain a C average to participate.
For the kids, what about for the coaches?
For the coaches to maintain a good average?
to foster
wins,
that.
Losses?
To foster that. You go on a road trip, we need a minimum of 3 hours study hall with tutor, or you can be the tutor or the mentor, every class day that you're out.
Yeah, I do know that there's expectations. I haven't participated in every conversation, but there is an expectation on local coaches that they will be not only aware of the scholastic requirements, but also supportive thereof. I can tell you where the conflict often comes in are the opportunities that some of our kids have to have here just because they are limited in the teams they can play is for the travel out of the area and how much time away from school that it has. So that often becomes a real difficult balance for coaches, students, parents, and the schools themselves to be able to affect. How do we give an opportunity for kids to compete and yet still have a focus on classroom?
It's 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America?
You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles. Gary, the budget came out from Sacramento. I've had a couple different conversations today talking with folks that are saying, well, it's not that ugly, but it's not happy. It's okay. What's your read on it from the education perspective?
Well, I appreciate Governor Brown's conservative way of looking at the state's resources. And I frankly agree with him after obviously working and observing state budgets for many decades. We do go through cycles of boom and bust. And that is not good at the local level for programs that are highly dependent on state resources. So to stabilize those and the concept of the rainy day fund and in terms of long-term state budget support over time, I think is a plus. Now, I think he has been somewhat conservative on estimating the income for next year. I think that's part politics as well as fiscally conservative.
By conservative, you mean that it won't be as many
the
economy
is going to
be stronger?
Yeah, the economy is going to be stronger than what he's put on the table, but that's typical for a January budget rollout. Because frankly, when you look at the political process, you're hopeful that more money will come in. The legislature is hopeful that they'll have money to play with, really, to be able to put towards some of their priorities that they see, so that by the time the June budget comes out, everybody feels a little bit better about what they've done through public support. That's why we have a May revision that comes out the first week of May.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that's why we have an election in June.
No, that's why we have the budget waiting till June, because what happens is the governor looks at resources that are primarily through the end of November. He might get a little of information of what happens in December, but you know, but late November and December, they're putting together the budget that they roll out the first part of January. When May comes up, now they look at more months of trend data for expense and income, and they hope to have a little bit more to work from. So the first shot over the ballot is always a little bit more conservative. So you'll see in the banners in the newspaper, the governor talks about positive cash flow. He talks about more money to the state, and he talks about a balanced budget. But he used words that gave the effect that it's just precariously balanced, I think was the phraseology, or something to that tone. Well, he's trying to throw the first volley out to suggest to colleagues in Sacramento, advocacy groups throughout the state, including education, you know, don't come beating down the door asking for a lot of new programs, asking for a lot of expansion, because we don't have a lot of excess money.
I heard today from one of my buds that the PILT dollars owed for Humboldt County, hundreds of thousands, $15,000.
Oh, really?
And it's like, wait a minute, that's how you balance a budget? You just ignore some of the debts? You guys have got unpaid dollars.
Well, we do. I will say this, though, that in this budget, the governor hasn't ignored it. In fact, he's got a line item to pay back the deferrals that he has for all local education entities.
In total?
He was going to completely pay them off with this budget, yes. And he wants credit for giving money to education that we're already owed, but that's the political side, Brian. He wants to pay off the $20 billion bond that Schwarzenegger let when he was governor, that was part of trying to keep the state afloat. He's going to fully pay that off. He's interested in doing the water bond activities. He's got a little over $530 million devoted to those activities because what was that, Prop 2 that he said we needs to fulfill? But in terms of the rainy day fund, part of that is to be set aside for the future. Part of it is to pay down debt obligations that the state currently has, and I think those were wise. He's actually suggesting some very modest increases. I think the cost of living adjustment is like 1.86% or something like that to education. But he has targeted some additional areas of Prop 98 support in this. First of all, he recognizes the critical need for internet connectivity for schools, and he is suggesting that $100 million of the funds available under Prop 98 go to internet connectivity.
For education.
For education. He's suggesting that about $1 billion in one-time funding go for Common Core curricular instruction. Now, that's for staff development for teachers. It also has to do with the acquisition of technology. He's suggesting that there be a revitalization of adult education. You'll recall that years ago, K-12, particularly high schools, ran adult ed programs.
For what?
The revitalization.
Adult ed?
For adult ed.
Yeah, you got to explain what that means.
That means education for individuals over the age of 18 that may or may not, they really don't include community college type activities, but it's community based. Adult education, for example, individuals needing to get what we used to refer to as adult basic education programs. These are individuals who did not complete their educational program, and they need to go back and finish before they might qualify for more advanced education.
Not ESL.
No,
this
no,
is just real
adult basic education. There is, there used to be high school equivalency programs as well that adult ed programs ran. There were English as a second language, your ESL programs you were mentioning, for immigrants who would come to this country and who needed language training. Those were typically conducted by adult education programs. There were also some short-term vocational training programs, things that didn't require the higher certificate or degree programs that community colleges would run, but things that would be run in the community to help meet entry-level job requirements. So that's the now adult education
and
program.
The popular jazz exercise.
Yes, well,
it was for decades with Stoddard doing it.
That's true.
But yeah,
yeah. But you see, those were programs that those are what they call community-based programs or community service classes where adults would pay a fee to participate in those kinds of classes
to offset the teacher cost.
Right. Yeah. But the adult education programs that the state is talking about running are these more academically oriented. They're the more the English is a second language.
So what happened to adult ed?
Well,
it just get non-sexy for a while?
It became less of a priority, and that was because when there was the big squeeze during the Great Recession on K-12 education programs, they allowed the high school districts who had funding for adult ed to redeploy them to other priorities, believing that the 5-year-old to 18-year-old was more of a higher priority than those 18 years and beyond. And it was unfortunate, but when, you know, there were only limited dollars available, and of course during the recession there were fewer dollars available, so to help the districts meet their priorities for high school programs, middle school programs, they shifted those funds, they were allowed to, I'll put it, to shift their funds from adult ed. But the governor and the legislature a couple of years ago recognized that something needed to be done differently, that adult education shouldn't disappear, that it should actually be on the map. But maybe the community colleges should be the point persons or the institutions to be able to coordinate adult education programs since they were responsible for so much other array of adult education programming. So there's a real shift in the state of California about who has the primary responsibility. In that legislation that was signed over a year ago, there's an expectancy for community colleges to work regionally to then meet the adult education needs that are identified in communities. So College of the Redwoods would be point on this, and they were given funding for 2 years to help plan the transition. Well, he's putting additional money on what we call the Adult Ed Block Grant, $500 million, to be administered by the California Department of Education and the community colleges to, as I say, revitalize, give rebirth to this array of core adult education, high-priority adult education programs. So I think that's a plus for our community.
KINS News and Information Times 344. We'll be back with more from Gary Eagles.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website,
theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show
on KINS 106.3 FM,
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley,
and KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:48. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles. So, Gary, with all the stuff that the governor had with his budget, was there anything there that really leapt out, either very good or very disturbing?
Yes, one very positive, or at least it has the potential to be very positive, and that's the governor is proposing $250 million to be used each year for 3 years, so it's limited funding. But it would...
It's a high limit, though.
It's a relatively high limit. To help backfill the loss of career tech education programs in the last few years. In addition to adult ed that we were talking about in the last segment, the other area that was reduced statewide was career tech ed. Now, we worked very hard as a county office working with our local districts to not reduce our support for programs here. And our programs here, a lot of your listeners will remember HROP, or the Humboldt Regional Occupations Program. That was the program name for a lot of the career education programs that are conducted in the county. But the ultimate vision is that high schools will be responsible for that, and the state's not going to fund those in the formal ways that we're previously doing. We had about $2.6 million that was coming into our office that we then sponsored programs in each one of our local high schools.
Is this your tenure or back into Booker's years?
No, that's during my tenure.
Okay.
And we've always been between 1.8 and we peaked at 2.6. And next year, we've maintained, even during the recession, those levels. We're about $2.2 million right now. So we've really made a concerted effort to try to preserve as many as we can. And we've made a promise to our high school districts that we will do what we can to continue that for at least the next 2 years. But at some point, those monies are going to have to be redirected by my office to other things, because as a county office of education, I'm not getting new money from the state. I'm considered fully funded, and I got to do with it what I have.
So this $250 million
this would help on a match basis, dollar-for-dollar match to local entities, to help, again, give rebirth to or reconfigure regional occupation career programs. I'm excited about the possibility of
this. Sounds cool stuff.
Absolutely.
So we'll have a rocketry program pretty quickly.
Hey, hope so.
All right. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.